Investing in property makes sense. Investing in the right property takes knowledge. Welcome to the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. I'm Jared McCabe, Director of Wakelin Property Advisory. Join me for expert insights into the fundamentals, trends and opportunities to help you create long-term wealth through smart property decisions.
Hi everyone and welcome to episode 74 of the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. Well, the Melbourne market has had a reasonable start to the year for 2024. Growth has probably been non-existent so far this year. It's been fairly plateaued, the market, in terms of its performance. But the clearance rates held up reasonably well. Now, I'd suggest quite a bit of this has been sales that have passed in at auction and then been negotiated afterwards. So there hasn't been a huge amount of depth to demand during that period. It's really just not overly strong at the moment. But we're now coming into a time in the market where supply does tend to slow down. Campaigns over the next couple of weeks into the start of May line up with auctions prior to the King's Birthday long weekend. And then from there, the depths of winter really start to kick in along with the mid-year school holidays. And so supply levels really start to slow down from that point for a couple of months through majority of July and also into August. So as a buyer, people can sometimes start to alter their decision making and feel as though they might be under different degrees of pressure for differing reasons. So I wanted to look today at what you need to be careful of doing in this type of market and some of the things to avoid in terms of decision making during this period. So the first one is not to change your goals or your objectives that you may be looking at. So just because the supply levels start to change doesn't mean you need to change. When supply drops, people quite often think that they won't be able to get what they want. The choice just won't be there through those months. And they start to make compromises that in a normal market or in a fuller supplied market, they wouldn't have made. So things like they might start to look at a wider range of locations. That might just be spreading things a little bit wider. It may be going a little bit further out just to see what is available. They might start to look at smaller land parcels. So you may have been looking for something as an example of 500 or 600 square metres and you start to look at 200 or 300 in order to give yourself a bit more choice and perhaps try and get into the market. Or it may be around the accommodation. So it might be that perhaps you feel as though we might be able to deal with 3 bedrooms rather than 4, which had always been the long-term planning objective to prevent perhaps needing to upgrade at a different time. Or it may have been that you're perhaps looking now and considering, well, maybe we'll look at something in lesser condition that we could perhaps renovate ourselves down the track, which again, when you did your planning, wasn't really part of the process. It was the intention all along was really to get something that you could move in and live comfortably in perhaps for 5 to 10 years. So compromises are being made. What you don't need to do is be spooked by a market that's got less stock available to you in order just to get into that marketplace. And this can particularly, we see this quite often as an issue when the market is actually quite strong, which we're not seeing at the moment, but where things are progressing and values are starting to jump and buyers really start to get spooked and worried that perhaps we won't be able to get into the market and the lack of supply emphasizes that even further. And then those scenarios are more probably from a home buyer point of view, but from an investor's perspective, buyers can start to change their end goal as to what they were focused on. And it may have been originally that you were looking for more of a growth asset and perhaps you're changing more towards a rental return focused asset. Looking at it from a perspective of that the market isn't giving you the choice in the growth side of things that you are hoping for, or that the rental returns, particularly at the moment, are quite attractive and perhaps we could find something that's going to give us a really strong rental return for the time being, and that might enable us to purchase something at a higher level because we can make mortgage repayments a bit easier with the extra income. So I think the thing to be cautious of is have a very clear plan and don't change those objectives because the supply perhaps is a little bit less than what it has been. The next one is not to rush. And this is a really common one in a lesser supplied market because people feel as though they're not going to have any choice if they don't buy now until the heavily supplied spring market around October, November. And they start to change their habits and rush their habits. So one of the first ones is not perhaps doing the level of due diligence that you'd been doing or intending to do because you feel as though, look, we've just got to get this done. So you're not getting contracts reviewed, or we'll skip the building inspection because this property looks like it's been really well renovated. Or the value assessments, we don't have time to assess whether value's still the same as what it has been, so we'll just assume that it's been at the same levels as what we've been dealing with in the past. And then they go back to similar things as what we said before, to rush. So change objectives. Don't worry about it. Let's just get this done. Change the property type. Oh, I know we were looking for a house, but now let's just go back. This townhouse is great. It'll suit us for the time being, and we'll just secure this property now. Or we'll perhaps change location in order to just get something done. It is a really common one in a lesser supplied market that people rush decisions because they just don't feel like they'll get a second chance at it going forward. The third one is not to jump to conclusions on market differences and changes. And this can, again, be something when circumstances change in a lack of supplied market, it can give a false indication of what market conditions might actually be. So a lack of supply can quite often lead to there being greater competition on a finite number or a lesser number of properties that are available. And what that might mean is that values might start to look as though they're increasing, or there's greater competition on specific properties. And it may give the impression that the market started to kick. And so people can start to court paying higher prices that perhaps aren't necessarily justified. So it's important to understand what the market's doing and not jump to conclusions off the back of one or two transactions. You need to be sure that there's actually a trend developing, and it's not just because of this period of time. So it's something to be very mindful of, and buyers do need to be mindful that they need to be patient. It's not something that we need to just jump in. Patience can be a really big factor when it comes to buying through the winter markets and not feeling as though you've just got to buy for the sake of it. Now, the next one, which almost flies a little bit in the face of the previous, but it's something that people need to be mindful of, is don't expect the competition to drop off. It's a common misconception that people have that the market is going to go into full hibernation over the winter. Now, this can be true. It does quite often happen that buyers and vendors start to slow down over the winter months. That's why the activity is not overly strong during that time. But it's not necessarily a guarantee. And so what some buyers do is they say, well, we're just going to put things on hold. And as we've said, that is a mistake. But the smart ones, they will keep the search going and they'll continue to look. And so therefore, you can't assume that the competition's not going to be there, or that it's going to be easier to buy during winter because there'll be less buyers around. What some buyers will do is they'll believe that they'll be able to perhaps reduce their expectations reduce their price budget because they won't have the same level of competition around. So they'll be able to pick up a bargain. And that can then result in you foregoing great property and missing out on some really good opportunities for good quality stock by expecting to pick up a bargain. You need to keep that same mindset of where value sits, but not go above and beyond because of change of circumstances. And then finally, this is another common one, is people put things on hold during the winter months. They feel as though they'll wait until the spring market when things are heavily supplied and they'll have a greater level of choice. So things like, we won't worry about renewing our finance. We've renewed it twice already this year. We'll just give it a spell during the winter months, and we won't. We'll renew it when the supply is ready to go in the spring market. Now, again, this can be a mistake because the right property could very easily pop up during the winter months. And if you're not ready, you'll miss out on that opportunity. The other side of things, from a renewing of finance point of view and being fairly fluid and ready to move, is that finance circumstances and conditions around lending may very well change over the winter periods. We've seen that happen quite a bit over the past 12 to 18 months, where circumstances change and what you thought you may have been able to borrow, you no longer can. So don't assume that everything will be the same. So just because the supply is stronger in spring, you should absolutely be ready to attack that market if you're not able to secure what you want in winter. But you need to keep active during the winter months, because the right property could still very well become available during that time. Okay, so let's have a look at a case study that that came about 12 months ago for me, actually. It was a client that came through to me around this time last year. And at the time, they were wanting to sell ASAP so that they could get ready to buy in what they perceived to be the well-supplied spring market. So initially, we sat down, we went through all of their options, why they were considering this, what property they were looking to buy, what property they currently held and what that looked like. And I suggested to them that they speak to their mortgage broker and their financial planner just to look into bridging finance to see if that was an option for them. So after doing a bit more due diligence, we discovered that bridging finance definitely was something that they could consider. So what this also meant was that they could therefore buy before selling. And with the property that they wanted to buy, the type of property that they were looking for, it was very particular in terms of the amount of accommodation and the location that they wanted to be in. But the property that they were looking to sell also had a fantastic outdoor space and had really good indoor-outdoor living. And so the market would respond much better to that in warmer months. So we decided to focus on trying to buy or see if the right property was going to be available during the winter. And it did pop up. We found the home that they loved in the depths of winter and were able to secure that at a great price. And because we were ready to attack the market to sell their existing home, once we bought, we were ready to move fairly quickly. So we were able to start a campaign in August and sell in September, which is a great time of the year to sell because there's a lot of buyers coming into the market then in preparation for that spring market, but it's not necessarily heavily supplied like October and November can be. So we were able to achieve a fantastic price, which was well above their expectations from a sale point of view as well. So they walked away from that with a really great result from a purchase, but also from a sale, and understood that postponing the buying process wasn't necessarily going to be the best option for them. So getting that buy through winter meant that they didn't have as much competition and they got the right property, but we were able to sell it at a really good time too. So it worked out quite well. So that's about it for today's podcast. I guess the key takeaways from there are that you do need to focus on what's right for you. The supply market is can give you a lot more choice, but it doesn't mean that the right property may not be available to you in a lesser supplied market. So thanks for joining me for the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. As always, feel free to share the podcast far and wide with friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else who may have an interest in property. And if you'd like further information on how to make rewarding property decisions, please visit our website, wakeland.com.au, and we wish you all the best with your property decisions.